I have to talk slowly because it's on a PC, and it's not gonna grab it so fast. Okay.
Okay. So you'll tell me if you.
There's a delay, so you gotta talk. You're gonna have to go slow.
Okay. How slow should I go? Avinu Malkenu Kosvenu Besefer Schuyos Mimanafshach. I don't understand. This question that I'm going to express is raised by the great Mashgiach of the Kelber Yeshiva, who died al Kiddush Hashem. Mimanafshach. So we're bringing a question here in the name of Rabbi Daniel Moshkevitz, who is a great Mashgiach back in Kelm, and he asks the following question. What does it mean when we ask Hashem during these days, Kosvenu b'sefer zechuyos, mimanavshach? If he doesn't have any zechuyos, if he doesn't deserve anything, how can he ask Hashem to write him down, inscribe him in the Sefer Zechuyos? He has no Zechuyos. What, Hashem is going to, you know, create magically Zechuyos for him? And if on the other hand, he has Zechuyos, so why does he have to pray to Hashem and ask to be written down in the Sefer Zechuyos? He has his own Zechuyos. So this is the question that we open the shiur with. We're going to take a while until we get back to this and try to answer it, hopefully at the end of the shiur. The Mishnah in Misechta Avos formulates a principle which is called mitzvah goreres mitzvah, avera goreres avera. So we're going to try to understand what that's all about. We're going to also try to understand whether or not we can find some sort of concept or explanation that will help us understand the principle of Megalgalin Zchus Al Yedei Zakai. And we'll try to explain as we go along. First, let's start with this week's Parsha. We have in Parshas Ki Tzeitze no less than 74 mitzvos. There is no Parsha in the Torah that has more mitzvos than Ki Tzeitze. And the Sifsei Tzaddik, one of the great masters of Hasidus, says that this is the parsha that we read in preparation for Rosh Hashanah. Because we have a principle called Osek B'Torah Malalov HaKosuv Kilu Aso. Like, for example, if you learn about a Karban Ola, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if he received a Karban Ola. And therefore Hashem gave us the opportunity right before Rosh Hashanah to learn and study 74 mitzvos. And it's as if we fulfilled these mitzvos. So this is a great opportunity to prepare to be Zocheh B'Din on Rosh Hashanah. He goes further and he says that the number Ayin Dalet indicates aid. Ayin Dalet is aid, which means testimony. And he says that if you look in the parsha of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, when we accept upon ourselves the oneness and the sovereignty of God, you'll notice he says that you can calculate the letters and it comes to 74. So what we're saying is that we want to come to the Melech, accept him as our king, and through this we get closer to Hashem, we're miskarev elov, to be dovek b'Hashem Yisparach. And we're going to do this by learning these 74 mitzvos that form the edus. Edus meaning testimony, that we testify that Hashem is the Melech al kol ha'aretz. And therefore we've accepted Him and our commitment is to Him. Now, another dimension of what we want to learn today is a Mishnah in Masechta Makos. And this has to do with a Rotzeach B'Shogeg in a case of emergency where we need him desperately, but he's stuck in the Ir Miklat, because after he killed B'Shogeg, obviously he ran to the city of refuge, and he's not permitted to go out there. If he goes out of the bounds of the city of refuge, they'll, you know, the Gol Adam will knock his block off, so to speak. And therefore the Mishnah says, Eini yotzi mishom li'olam. He doesn't leave, the Rotzeach doesn't leave the Eir Miklat for anything. Lo le'edus mitzvah, even if we need him to testify for a mitzvah, let's say we need him for Kiddush HaChodesh. Lo le'edus mamon, like two people are in a lawsuit, one is suing the other, he doesn't go out of the Eir Miklat in order to testify. And not even v'lo le'edus nefashos, even if they need him in a testimony in a capital case. And now the Mishnah tops it off and says, Ve'afilu Yisrael tzrichim lo, even if the people need him, he's the military leader, he's the giant, he can take the people out to battle, he will save the people of Israel, he doesn't leave the Eir Miklat. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Asher nas shama. And the extra word shama teaches us that sham tehe di raso, sham tehe misaso, that's where he's going to be, and that's where he's going to die and get buried. So on the Mishnayos, you know that there's a super commentary called the Tiferes Yisrael, and he asks two questions. He says the following: what does it mean he doesn't leave when the entire people, the nation of Israel, depend upon him? After all, we have a principle called V'chai Bohem. So there's a mitzvah for the Gol Adam to live in the Eir Miklat. But any mitzvah can be overridden because of V'chai Bohem for the sake of human life. With the only exceptions of Gili Arayah, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zorah. But here we're not talking about any of those three. So why should it be such that for the sake of Hatzolah, where he could be critical in saving Jewish lives, and there's pikuach nefesh v'chai bohem online, and nevertheless he doesn't leave the Eir Miklat, it undermines all of our fundamental principles. And then he asks another question. He says, what about Korban Pesach? Let's say he wants to leave the Eir Miklat, the bounds of the Eir Miklat, in order to bring the Korban Pesach. Now the Gemara establishes in a few places in Shas that we compare mitzvos when he has a choice or a conflict between mitzvos. There's something called a mitzvah chamura, a mitzvah kala, and in the case of Korban Pesach, for the sake of a Korban Pesach, will be docha another mitzvah. So let's say there's a mitzvah of the Yoshev Sham that he should remain in the Eir Miklat ad most kohen gadol, but that mitzvah doesn't shine a candle to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The mitzvah Korban Pesach is a mitzvah chamura, and it's docha mitzvah saseh kala. So how can it be that he doesn't leave the Eir Miklat? So we have here a tshuva from the Chok Shlomo, of Shlomo Kluger, and he quotes the Tiferes Yisrael on Mishnayis. He brings a summary of his questions, and he says, Lulei demistafina, if I wasn't afraid of saying something pretty radical, he says, Hayisi Omer, I would reinterpret this Mishnah. That's how severe the questions are. Ein Ratzol Omer, the Mishnah never meant to say, the Osel Olatzeis Li'edus Mitzvah. Oh, Lehatzolas Nefashos. That's not what the Mishnah meant, that he can't go out of the Eir Miklat for Hatzolas Nefashos. For sure he has to go out. But what did the Mishnah say when it said, Eini yotze misham li'olam? Right, that was the lashon of the Mishnah, that he has to remain there li'olam. The Mishnah wants to teach us that after he leaves for a very urgent mitzvah that could be meaningful for the sake of Klal Yisrael, a mitzvah chambura or hatzolos nefashos, Eino niftar miyad golos, he's still chayv in golos. The fact that we allowed him to go out, in other words, what he's saying is that the Pasuk wants to teach us that Golus is not something that as long as you're there, then you're chayev to stay there, but once you're allowed to leave, then we give you carte blanche and you can leave forever. No. The halacha is that you have to be there every moment of your life. there may be a certain period of time we will let you go out of the Ir Miklat for a pressing need, mitigating circumstance, but now you finished and completed that mitzvah, you saved whoever you saved, you testified for whom you ever testified, and now you have to go back to the Ir Miklat.
You should turn off his microphone.
You should turn off his microphone.
David Noyuk is saying to turn off the microphone, your microphone.
On Skype.
On Skype.
Oh, my microphone on Skype?
We're connected to you again on Skype, but...
Basically, what we're suggesting is the following. The Mishnah adds the word li'olam.
Rabbi, you muted the wrong button.
How's it now? Better? We're suggesting that the extra word in the Mishnah li'olam really reveals the secret of what this halacha is all about. The halacha is not telling you that he can't leave the Ir Miklat. For the sake of a great mitzvah, and for sure for the sake of saving Jewish lives, he's going to leave the Ir Miklat. But the word li'olam, that's the chiddush here. You might have thought that once he leaves the Ir Miklat, we gave him permission to do so, he's a free agent. No, the word li'olam here is telling us, and the Mishnah derives from a pasuk, that he has to go back to the Ir Miklat. We're allowing him on a temporary basis, just for the sake of this mitzvah that he has to do. He has to give a very important testimony in court, or he has to save lives because he's a military expert, whatever it might be. As soon as he completes that goal, he's got to go back to the Ir Miklat. And that's the language here. He says, "Meduyak lashon haMishnah, the Messiah eino yotze misham li'olam." Uluch Ora, he says, "Tevas li'olam eino medugdokan." He didn't have to add the word li'olam, because in truth, he does go free from the Ir Miklat b'misas kohen gadol. So, what does it mean li'olam? That's not true. The Mishnah is saying something that's inaccurate. Ella, why did the Mishnah say li'olam? The word li'olam means something else. That as far as this urgent need for which we'll give him permission to leave, he still has the li'olam, the chiyuv of golus is still, how shall I say, hovering over his head, and he has to go back to the Ir Miklat as soon as he completes the mitzvah. However, what we'd like to analyze now is a whole new approach of the Ar Sameach, Rabbeir Simcha Midvinsk. He points out that when the Rambam codifies this Mishnah in Makos, which is on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Rambam codifies that in Hilchos Rotzeach Perek Zayin Halacha Ches, and the Rambam adds three words. He says, "Eni yotze misham li'olam," right? Basically repeating the Mishnah. And then he adds that if he goes out, hitir atzmo lemisa, which means that the Gol Adam is allowed to kill him. And the Gol Adam will not be held liable if he kills the Rotzeach, because he found the Rotzeach outside the bounds of the Ir Miklat. Says Rabbeir Simcha, what compelled the Rambam to add these extra words of hitir atzmo lemisa? And again, there are many answers to this question, but I'm going to give you the answer of Rabbeir Simcha, a very unique answer. He says that the Rambam is coming to contradict the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says that if a person would have to put his life into danger in order to save someone who's definitely going to die. So let's say, for example, I mean, this is a case I'm just drumming up, it's not in Yushalmi, but let's say I could jump into the water, you're about to drown, I'm going to be able to save you, but my life is going to be in danger. So the Yushalmi says that since your case is suffik, you don't know whether you'll die or not as a result of this pu'ula, this action. His life is vadai, he's going to definitely die. Is therefore, you have to put your life into danger in order to save his life. Which is amazing, because usually the principle is chayecha kodmin l'chayecha vercha, but the Yushalmi is establishing the exception to that rule. Yeah, chayecha kodmin l'chayecha vercha. I don't have to give you my water and perish. But if I jump in and I would put my life into a suffix situation, and if I do nothing, this person is definitely going to die, then Vadai, his Vadai situation trumps my Suffolk situation, overrides my Suffolk, and therefore I have to put my life into danger. That's the Yushalmi. And this Yushalmi is quoted by the Kesef Mishnah at the beginning of Hilchos Trumos. And the Rambam says, Rameir Simcha is coming lafuke, he's coming to argue with this principle of the Yushalmi. And the Rambam is saying that the very moment that the Rotzeach B'Shogeg leaves the bounds of the Eir Miklat, he puts his life into danger. Now it's true, we need him to save other Jewish lives, but he doesn't have to put his life into danger in order to save other Jewish lives. And the Yushalmi is not accepted by the Rambam. The Rambam holds Chayecha Kodmin means even Suffolk, even though Yenim is a Vadai and I'm only a Suffolk, I don't put my life into danger. And by the way, on the side, I think I may have discussed this with you once, as far as Entebbe, you know that during the Entebbe raid, or right before, the Rabin government actually conferred with Rabbi Yosef, who's the chief rabbi, to ask him if it's okay to send a whole battalion of troops, you know, by plane, you know, undercover at nightfall to Uganda in order to save other Jews. And basically the thrust of the tshuva was based on this principle that Chayecha Kodmin, Ein Suffolk, a person doesn't put his life into danger even to save other people's lives, which would reflect...
Rav,
yes?
You gave a whole shiur on how this doesn't work with regards to our...
Correct. So the last page of this tshuva, which is a 40-page tshuva, Kedarko Bakodesh of Rav Avad Yosef, he switches his opinion based on the law of Milchama, where the mitzvah Milchama requires that you put your life into danger. But we're not talking now necessarily about Milchama, although again, one of the situations that the Mishnah mentions here where the Rotzeach B'Shogeg wants to go out of the Eir Miklat is to serve the role as a Sar Tzava, as a military leader. But right now, Basher Husham, the war hasn't begun yet. In other words, there are no Jewish lives now on the line. The question is to send... So at this point, the Gol Adam has the right to say, based on this understanding of the Rambam, that I'm not going to leave the Eir Miklat, because if I do so, I expose myself to death, because if the Gol Adam gets a hold of me, he's gonna kill me. And my life is redder than his life. It comes out that we have to ask a different question according to the Rambam, the way Rabbi Simcha. The question would be, do I have permission to expose myself to danger if I choose to do so on a voluntary basis? I'm not obligated to put my life into danger, even to save other Jews from vadai danger, but would I be permitted to do so? The impression you get from the language of the Rambam, when he says, Eino Yotze, and Yotze Misham Liolam, which is really a paraphrase of the Mishnah, is that he's not even allowed to volunteer to put his life into danger. Because I don't own my own life. I might say, well, I want to expose myself to danger. And this becomes very relevant to transplants. Thank God, with regard to kidney transplants, that was the whole issue back, you know, in my youth, you know, like 30, 40 years ago. Of course, I'm only 21, so let's say 2 or 3 years ago. So in my youth, you know, the issue was donating a kidney for someone. And a lot of the poskim say it's absolutely forbidden. Even though the other person's going to die, he needs your kidney. He doesn't have any kidneys. You have at least a second kidney. But the answer is that the operation itself was a dangerous operation. So maybe that metzius has changed. Baruch Hashem, you know, I think the incidence of death in a kidney transplant is close to nil. I mean, it's insignificant, and therefore you certainly would be encouraged to donate your kidney. But there are other kinds of transplants that are very, very dangerous, and you're exposing yourself to danger. And it could be that if we accept Rabbi Simcha's understanding of the Rambam in Hilchas Rotzeach regarding the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, that the reason the Rambam answer reasoning why he doesn't leave the Yer Miklat at all is because he would expose himself to danger, then it could be the Rambam is telling you he's not allowed to and he can't volunteer to do so. And then again, Joe, in the case of Uganda, you're going to have to come up with a whole new svara that terrorism is a mulchama and all that stuff. So we now have two approaches to understand this Mishnah in Makkos. One approach is to say that the Mishnah in Makkos is only coming to tell me that after he leaves the Yer Mikla to give his testimony and to save lives, he immediately has to return to the Yer Mikla. Don't think for a moment that once we let him out, the entire mitzvah and the obligation to remain in the Yer Mikla is removed. No, it remains. And the second approach is to say that he absolutely cannot leave the environs of the Yer Mikla because in doing so, he would expose himself to danger. Now what we want to do is come back to the principle that I mentioned earlier called mitzvah goreres mitzvah and avera goreres avera. This is a statement of Ben Azai in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos. There are many other parts of Ben Azai's formulation, but they're not so relevant to us. He says, Ratz l'mitzvah kala b'chamura borech min avera. And then he says, mitzvah goreres mitzvah va'avera goreres avera. And this principle is very important now that we're in Chodesh Elul, and it's derived according to Chazal from Parshas Ki Teitzeh that we'll read in Mirtz Hashem this Shabbos, because the Torah says Ki Teitzeh la Milchama Aleivecha V'ra'isa B'Shivya Eishes Yifas Torah. So the first Avera is, why was he looking at this woman? And at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the option of marrying this woman, but Omar Lecha Kadosh Baruch Hu Afal Pishi Itarti Osolecha. Nevertheless, you should know, Amarti Lecha, I'm really hoping that at the end of the day, you're not going to marry this woman. I told you Vigilchas Rosha Vastas Tziparnea, and all this, says the Medrash, is Kadesh Lo Timtza Chain Beinecha Utishalach Osa. Send her away. Vim Lo Asisa Kain. Maxiv Achron ki yeh le'ish ben soru morer mitok kach yeh ve'ish chet mishpat moves. Imagine the child of this marriage between the Jewish soldier and this Eishes Yisfas Torah who's taken captive is going to be a person who's going to be put to death. Why? How did this all happen? Avera goreres avera. The whole thing was like a domino theory. It started because Vera Isa Bashivya Eshisifas Toar, and your lust and desire got the better of you, and that's gonna begin an avalanche that's gonna end up with a Ben Soru Mori. However, Parshas Ki Teitzeh also teaches us the flip side, which is called Mitzvah Goreres Mitzvah. Minayin says the Medrash Mitchila Ki Kare Kantzipar Lefanecha. He gets an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Kant of Shiluach HaKan. And then it says, Ki Sivne Bayis Chodosh. He'll be able to build a new house. He'll make a Chanukah Sabayis. That's another mitzvah. And then, when he has his new house, he plants his field. And Lo Tizra Karmacha Kelayim. He's going to be kind of the mitzvah of avoiding planting two different species together. When we told Kach, and eventually he gets the opportunity while he's doing Harisha in this Karak of Lotakra Shor V'chamor Yachta. At the end of this whole parsha comes the parsha of Tzitzis, Gedilim, Tassel, Chari, Mitzvah, Goreres, Mitzvah. So we have here, and Rashi more or less quotes this Medrash in his own language when he says, V'lakachta l'cha isha l'isha, that you're allowed to marry this non-Jewish woman. Lo dibra Torah el keneged yetzahara, that the person was overwhelmed or overcome by his temptation, by the yetzahara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu normally would not, under normal circumstances, would not be matir, would not permit you to marry a non-Jewish woman, but here the Torah is going to be matir you. And why? Because if he does, Hashem says, if I don't allow you to marry a beheta, you'll marry a beisur. You'll just simply succumb to your temptations and you'll marry her. But you should know that at the end of the day, when you marry her, it's not going to be a very successful marriage. Sofa liyasnua, Rashi says, she'll be hated. And afterwards, kisiyana liish ben sora umorid mo'umor. So we have this principle called avera goreres avera. Now the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on Mishle, in the first perek, has a long presentation about this concept of mitzvah goreres mitzvah, avera goreres avera. Now you know that in Mishle, the target, so to speak, the arch enemy in Mishle is the ksil, or the letz. Sometimes Shlomo Mel calls him a letz. And the letz, you know, gives into his taivis, to his pleasures, his cravings. You know, he's very cynical. He has a laid-back attitude towards life. Eat, drink, and be merry. And the Gaon says that this attitude of the latzon, of the person who's guilty of leitzonus, is chamur, is a very serious situation. And he interprets very complicated psukim in Mishle. Ki rucham lo nochav lo shokta chiyiru divrei chilatzon. That halatzon, this person who's how do you say, he's nagua, his character is a distorted character because of this attribute of leitzonus. He has no nachas ruach, the pasuk says, until he fulfills his desires. And he goes on to say the following, very interesting. It's almost like a spiritual approach to this concept of mitzvah goreres mitzvah, very goreres mitzvah. He says the following: when a person involves himself in an avera, then he's surrounded by a ruach mimorom. Somewhere from above, there's a destructive spirit, so to speak. And that spirit, that ruach mimor misayelo, helps him lasos od averos. And the ruach itself that comes mimorom enonach v'shaked will not be complacent, will not be quiet. Acha osa od averos v'nena mihem. And once the person does other averos and he's nena again, he generates a ruach mimorom. And that ruach mimorom is not going to be satisfied until he trips up the man, the criminal, and he'll do more averos. He says on the flip side, we have something called mitzvah goreres mitzvah. And he says the following. The parallel here is that just like the avera, if it's a greater avera, in other words, we have a scale of averos, kol sha'avera hi gdola Yosef, the avera is more severe, the ruach itself is more intense. And that's why it's able to bring him to new levels of sin, because his taivos are now increased as a result of this ruach mimorom. And he says that with regard to mitzvos in the mirror image here, if you want to talk about mitzvah goreres mitzvah, creating this ruach mimorom to help him and guide him to do mitzvos, then again you want to know which is the greatest mitzvah on the Richter scale. And he says without even blinking, that's limud haTorah. In other words, whereas leitzonus is the attitude that brings a person down, and that's going to, you know, begin what we called before an avalanche that's lead him from one avera to the next avera. On the flip side, the opposite of leitzonus is a serious dedication to the study of Torah. And he claims that leitzonus is the hepech of Torah. If you want to know what the opposite of Torah is, the antithesis of Torah, the exact opposite, that's leitzonus. And then he says, hanena midvar b'teilim v'leitzonus, once he forsakes the Torah and he gets involved in leitzonus, this is worse than all the averos. Why? Because machmas haruach hatumah gdola ad miod, because of this ruach that we spoke about before, which is the ruach hatumah that comes to push him from one avera to the next avera, that's all the hepech, the opposite of Torah. Torah is always compared to a mayon of water, a spring of water. And it continuously and infinitely shoots out water, and more great things come of it. So the avera gedola of Mishlei, according to the Gaon, is Leitzonus, and the Mitzvah Gedola is Talmud Torah. And he says, if we dedicate ourselves seriously and sincerely to the study of Torah, we're going to bring a Ruach HaKodesh Milamala, and that's going to project us and strengthen us and help us to do more and more mitzvahs. And now, we want to study a Rashi in Parashas Ki Tetzeh, which further sheds light on this whole concept. Remember, we said in the name of the Medrash that Parashas Ki Tetzeh teaches us the principle of mitzvah gereres mitzvah, and that starts Simper Chav Beis Pasuk Ches Ki Sivne Bayis Chadash V'Asisa Makel L'Gagecha. You build a house, and now you have the mitzvah of makeh. You also have the mitzvah of mezuzah, and a whole bunch of other mitzvahs. But the Torah singles out the mitzvah of makeh. And then the Torah says, Lo tosim domim b'veisecha, if you violate, or let's say non-fulfillment of the mitzvah of asisa makeh, you violate a losa seh called Lo tosim domim b'veisecha. And why? Because what's going to happen without the makeh? And listen carefully, the Torah says, Ki yipol hanofel mimenu. And Rashi is perplexed by this double language, Ki yipol hanofel. And the word hanofel seems to indicate that he's going to fall. He's already called the nofel. Rashi says that what's this referring to? Hanofel is royal lipol. In other words, there was some criminal act that he was guilty of, and he really deserves to die. He's called a nofel. A nofel means he's really, according to the strict letter of the law, he is destined, he's really singled out for death because of the nature of his severity of his criminal act. However, we weren't able to put him to death for whatever reason. We didn't have enough evidence. Afal pikein lo tisgalgil misoso al yodcha. Rashi says, lo tisgalgil misoso al yodcha. He says that you won't be the cause of his death unless he deserves to die. If he deserves to die, then. If that be the case, let me just read the Rashi. He says, "Afal pichein lo tizgalgal misos al yotcha shemegalgal tzchus al yedei zakai vechova al yedei chayav." So this Rashi is based on a Gemara in Shabbos. Maybe the Gemara itself is a little bit clearer. You know that. On Agadata, we have what's called the Ein Yaakov. So the Agadata is in Shabbos on Daf Lamed He. And the Gemara asks, what's the source for the principle of mitzvah goreris mitzvah? Ki yipol anofil mimenu. Mimenu? Lahavi raya. What does that mean? Tonit be Rabbi Shmuel, ki yipol anofil mimenu. Roy zel lipol, mishesh yisimei breishes. But Arelo Nofal, Vakosav Koro Nofel. He didn't fall, and yet the Torah says he's a Nofel. Ela Shemagalgalin Zchus Al Yede Zakai Vizakai Al Yede Chayev. In other words, who's going to die over here? And your hands. You're the one who set up this roof. He fell off your roof. And we have a principle called Megalgalin Zchus Al Yedei Zakai. So if you take a look in the Ein Yaakov, he says the following, L'chora, Dover Zeh Miyutar, D'lo Havi Le'lemei Rak Megalgalin Chov Al Yedei Chayav. If somebody's going to die as a result of the fact that you didn't put up a makeh, he falls off your roof, then you must be a chayav, meaning you're guilty of other sins, and Hashem set it up that a chov should happen through you. So what's this other part here called Megalgalin Zchus Al Yedei Zakai? Ella says the Ein Yaakov Asi Lashmina, and he comes to teach me Nami Diem Asa Makel Legago, that if he fulfilled exactly what he's meant to fulfill, and he surrounded his roof with a fence, Al Yodo Nitzol Chavero, he will save someone that fell on the makeh. In other words, he tripped and he fell against the makeh, and the only reason he didn't die by falling to the ground is because of your makeh. Nitzol Lomar Bozeh Lo Yeh Nechshav Lo Zchus Sharei B'Lav Hochi Lo Ayeh Nofel Mimenu Kevon Shelo Ayeh Roy Lipo Mishesh Ne'ebreishis Lo Hiyon Komar Megalgun Zchus Ayeh Zaka. In other words, you might have said, well, this is not a zchus. This man would have survived anyway, even without your makeh, because we have a principle that if a person was not royally pole, he didn't deserve to die, then lo ayeh nofel. So that's the havamina here, that even in the absence of your makeh, he would have survived, because Hashem would have protected him. No. Komash malon, no. Megalgun zchus al yedei zakai. Yutaka saved his life by putting up the makeh. And if not for your makeh, he would have fallen and he would have perished. And that's called Megalgulim Schus Al Yidei Zakai. So basically what comes out here, Abosai, is that the concept of Megalgulim Schus really means that we give a person an opportunity to do great mitzvah. Since he did a great mitzvah, he put up the makeh on his gag. Now we're going to give him another mitzvah. He's going to accomplish the mitzvah of Hatzolas Nefashos. He's going to save someone who would have died if not for his makeh. So he did what he had to do, and therefore he's blessed with reward of another opportunity to do a greater mitzvah even than makeh, and that's the mitzvah of Hatzolas Nefashos. So for just a moment, I want to...
I don't get it.
Go ahead, Joe.
If he's supposed to die, then he's going to go somewhere else, and he's going to. Don't we have that concept? So it's not going to be on your head, but it's going to be somewhere else. He deserves to die. Don't we have that concept? What is it saying here? If he doesn't deserve to die, okay. You say if he's on that, maybe he's in that quasi area that maybe he should die if he shouldn't die. Is that what it's talking about? Because if he deserves to die, then he's going to go somewhere else and he's going to be hit by a truck or something like that. Or he's going to go on the Danforth and be shot in the head like everybody seems to be doing now.
Well, let me put it to you this way, Joe. In the case of Megalgul and Chova, you know, at least in the eyes of the beholder, of the spectator, we don't know why this person died. You know what I mean? On the front cover of the newspaper, it just says that you didn't put up a makeh, and as a result, so-and-so died. You could be prosecuted for that, right? It's, what's that called? Like third-degree murder, whatever it's called. What?
Negligence.
Yeah.
Negligence.
Some sort of negligence. So why do you get this whole headache that as a result of your negligence, this guy died? I mean, anyway, in Shamayim, like you say, it was already determined that he would get hit by a truck. But the answer is that at least in the eyes of man, you turn out to be the one who's chayav, the cause of his death. And he seems to be, on the face of it, an innocent person. But you're not innocent. You were the one who failed to put up the makeh, is then someone is going to fall. Again, you ask me why that person has to die. The answer is he's a no-fail already, because there's a cheshbon up in Shamayim. But why do you have to be the agent to bring about his death? He was never tried in a court of law. We have no reason to suspect. You know, a person is always innocent until proven guilty. The answer is that you are guilty, and that's why the Yaakov says that the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos is going to derive the principle of Megalgel and Schus al Yedei Zakai, Megalgel and Chov al Yedei Chayev from this parasha of Makeh. Let's go over the case of Megalgel and Schus al Yedei Zakai. This person who fell against your roof. I'm sorry, he fell against your fence on your roof. He wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have died because he has divine protection. He doesn't deserve to die. But nevertheless, the Torah is testifying that you saved his life. Why did you save his life? How did you save his life? By putting up the fence. We're not going to say, like we just like before, in the case of Megalgalin, Chova Yizei Chayev, we're not going to make the cheshbon, well, up in Shemayim, in the divine courts, this guy was meant to die anyway. So why am I Chayev if I didn't put up a mark? No, we're not going to go that way. And the same thing in the case of Sklus. We're not going to say, well, he would have survived and Hashem would have, you know, put down his divine hand and saved him on his way down. No, we're not going to say that. We're going to say he was going to fall and die, but you did a mitzvah. And that was a great mitzvah, putting up a makeh. And now we're going to give you another mitzvah. And that other mitzvah is Hatzolos Nefashos. So this is the principle of mitzvah goreris mitzvah. So if you give me just 2 minutes, what I want to do now, because I don't know how long you can stay, we had some technical difficulties today, and I attributed that because of the shinui, you know, the shinui minog over here, that we're not where we usually are, and I wanted to add a piece here from the Rav Mushkovitz. Remember, we started with the Mashkiach back in Kelm, who died Nebuch in the war, and he asked the question. Let's just go over it very quickly, because I don't know what you were able to hear or not. It says, "Avida Malkeinu Kosvenu b'sefer zchuyos." Mimanav Shach, he asks, if a person has chusim, then he's going to be written in the sefer zchuyos. He doesn't need a special yiratzon for that, a special Avida Malkeinu for that. If on the other hand he has no chusim, so prayer, does prayer give him chusim, and he didn't do anything. So he offers a whole new pshat. What does it mean, Avinu Malkeinu Kosvenu b'sefer zchuyos? He says that the sefer zchuyos means the opportunity to do other mitzvahs. This is what we're asking Hashem. Hashem, you have a principle called Megalgalin Zchus Al Yidei Zakah. I start with one mitzvah, and then I end up with another mitzvah, because God, you reward me by fulfilling the mitzvah with an opportunity to do another mitzvah. That's called Megalgalin Zchus Al Yidei Zakai. And let's emphasize the word Zchus. So Kosvenu B'Sefer Zchuyos means write me back down in the book of Megalgalin Zchus Al Yidei Zakai. What we're saying in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam is that if we are given a certain shlichus, you know, God wants us to do something good, then we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want us to be your agent for good? Hineni muchen u'mezumen. I'm ready right now. Just give me the responsibility of the task, and I'm going to do every tircha that I have to have in order to fulfill your will. And now I'm asking in return, what am I asking for? What's my reward that I'm begging for? Is I want to be written down amongst those who are megalgal in zchus al yidei zakai. That through this mitzvah that I'm doing, I'll fulfill your shlichus, Hashem, without hesitation. Write me down for another mitzvah and another mitzvah. Give me another zchus. I want to be written down in the book of zchuyos. And he says,
isn't that in your control? It's like, in other words, it's up to you. We're saying if you do a mitzvah, so it's going to raise another mitzvah. But is that from Lamala? That's from you. You're going to do the next mitzvah.
Well, maybe you'll find another opportunity, but maybe you won't find an opportunity. In other words, if the aniyim are coming knocking on your door, or if you know where the aniyim are to be found, so enochinami, I don't need divine help for the second schus. But we're talking about unique situations that arise where you can save another life. You know, that's not something that's easy to seek out. Again, maybe if you're professionally trained in that field, like my son is an emergency medicine guy, maybe he could seek out, even in his case, I don't know how easy it would be to seek out life-saving situations. Just to give that one example. So I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what, I have one schus. I did this mitzvah, you told me to be your shliach, and I put myself all out, without hesitation, immediately. You know, hamafaked, I said, I'm right here. Now, write me down for another schus. And he says that it's not even necessarily that you're asking for a zchus harabim, meaning to save the entire community, but rather for any mitzvah that could come my way, give me a mitzvah, even if it's a zchus hayachid, even something I can do for another person. Give me a hizdamnut, he says, to do tova v'chesed. And why do I deserve it? Because I was written down in the book of zchuyot. And he goes on to say, at the end, he says, Nimtza, ki lefi ha-emes, kol ha-asin shalonu l'netzach nitzachim, our entire future for all eternity, meaning for the reward in the world to come, kol b'tfilo k'tzarezu. He wants to roll it all up into, and it's inherent in this one little short tfilo, which we didn't even understand what it meant, of kosveinu b'sefer zchuyos, asher ba. Because in this tefillah, anu mischananim lefanav, we are supplicating in front of God, sheyichtov osanu, that He should write us down in a sefer of harbe hizdamnuyot shel zchus, of many opportunities of zchus, asher heim heim kol chayenu. This is what's going to give us life. He means life in the world to come. Be'emes. Ubiladeim ain shun tochen v'tachlus chayin. If we don't get these other hizdamniyot, these other zchuyot, the opportunities to do zchus, then what's our life worth? Now I skipped a few things because I wanted to make sure that before the bell rings, I get in that particular chiddush because I think it's a really new perspective on that tefillah. But if you still have time, again, I don't know how pressured you are because I don't think
it's unfortunately. That's my phone and I have to go.
Oh, it's your phone, you have to go. So can you give me just 60 seconds, Bobby? I just want to add one thing. The Aruch HaShulchan has a very unique answer to the question as to why we don't let the Rotzeach B'Shogeg out of the Ir Miklat under any circumstance. And he says the following. He says, we don't apply the principle of this Galgalin Schusa Yedei Zakai in this case. Why? Because since he was the Rotzeach, he was the one who murdered someone, then if there are people out there who have to be saved, Hashem will find the way of saving their lives. But on the contrary, Nisgalgalo Yoda Arigas Nefesh, he was the one who killed someone. So that's a case of Megalgalin Chova Al Yidei Chayav, and therefore we're not going to be so eager to give him a zchus to do another great mitzvah. We're going to require that he stay in the Ir Miklat. This is the Aruch HaShulchan in three words. He is mechadish a whole new pshat in why the Gol Adam is not going to be left out of the Ir Miklat. So just want to share with you the Alshich in Parshas Ki Teitze. And he quotes a pasuk. He says, "Alotzi v'sicha lehetiv legever amischa v'af legarua himenu." Hineni Moshev yomer ki lo bilvad tase toelus lebilti chatoim ki im tesalek hezek gam kei me'achatoim benafshosam ki tase makel legagech v'otosim dom ve'sach ki ipol anofel himenu anofel hu ha'osid lipol bechetto lo yal yodcha ki dom matosam ve'sachah. And the Alshich sees this whole parasha in a very symbolic light. This is not Pshuto Shel Mikra, but Shivim Panim LaTorah. And we are obligated to do good things for others and help them. And even if we're talking about someone who's Garua Mehemenu, he's worse off than you in terms of his spiritual state. Nevertheless, do a Toelis for him, Lebilti Chotim, so that he wouldn't sin. And try to remove from him any hezek, any possible dangers and damaging forces that bring him to chet. And therefore, if you put up a makel gagecha, then lo tasim dom veisecha, because tasim lom veisecha means ki yipol anofel mimenu, means somebody who is a nofel in Lashon Asid, he says, in the future, meaning he's going to fall to sin, he'll be falling prey to his yetzahara, lo al yodcha. Make sure that it's not through you. That's the mitzvah of lo tosim stom veisecha ki adom ata stom veisecha. So don't be in any way a cause to bring about someone to fall. On the contrary, do whatever you can to be mesalik hezek mimenu, so he won't be a chote. And if you'll ask the question, says the Al Shechim, uchayev bedin lipov alomis ma'aliv alitzar zu, if we're talking about a nofel and he's going to fall to the prey of sin, why do I have to get involved? No. Ki lo te'ader mimenu misal kol ponim. There's no guarantee that he's going to die. He may use his freedom of choice correctly and save himself. Therefore, the Torah says, "Lo tizra karmecha kelayim." What does it mean? Hakerem biatzmo tov v'kosher. The vineyard is good. The chein atvua biatzmo tova, and the grains that you mixed with the vineyard are also good. Each one unto itself is good, but bischavram, when you integrate the two, that's mazik zelaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only God in heaven knows why one is mazik the other. And that's called klaya kerem. That the tfua will damage the kerem, and the kerem will damage the tfua. Kikel deas Hashem v'yodea eichu. And what is the symbolic message in the parasha of kelayim? He says, ki efsha she'ein avona ish maspik lomus bo. Meaning that if this person would have the right influences and he would connect to good people, then it could be that despite his evil inclination, he would be able to save himself and spare himself from death by sheer association with a tzaddik. And therefore, im haya al gag ish zakai, if the person who's standing on your roof is zakai, lo yipol mimenu. Ach bios al beis ish chayav. If he's on the house of someone who is not a good influence and he comes contact, then he might actually fall. Tischaber tumas achote ahuim tumas ish chayav. So the person who shouldn't have been on that gag, he shouldn't have been associating himself with a bad person. The reason he does so is because he himself is bad. He's failing. He's faulting. And now there's going to be a chibur of two kinds of tumah, the tumas achote and the tumas aish, who's chayav. Right? The owner of the house himself is a chote. And now the person who's in his house, he really deserves to die for other sins. And those two together, that's a toxic combination, and it's going to blow up. It's very dangerous. And tismale asanofel hahu adavon lipol v'yomus. But mashen ken al yedei zakai, if you're a zakai, then he's not going to fall from your roof. Nimtei satomesim dom v'secha shema at shayachosel amala midosel lipol v'lios domim. This person might be very close to becoming guilty of some very severe sin that would cause his death. So you have to be very careful to help him and do whatever you can. He's in your reshus now, he's in your gag. And this is similar to the case of Kalaya Kerem, that the chibur is mazik one to the other. Ato bifnei atzmecha lo totzer es hanofel. Hu bifnei atzmecha lo yosholim be'etzem avonu lomus bo. In other words, he himself wouldn't have died because he's not over the hill, so to speak. He hasn't crossed the red line. And you yourself would not have caused any difficulty to the nofel. But now, v'ata b'schabro imcha, ki ata chayev, you have a chayev, and that's megalgalin chiyuv al yidei chayev. Ein megalgalin chov rak al yidei chayev, chovoscha tisayel benizko. Right, because of that chibur of tuma v'tuma, tuma sachote and tuma sa'ishahu, that's going to bring about his death. Is chovascha tesayeh benizko v'nosaf gamzel ashmosecha. Now you brought about such a terrible damage to him. That's going to be another chov on you. Umei ein zehu lo tachrosh and lo tilbash. So basically, what the Alshit does for us is he tries to show on a symbolic level how these various Isurim and Parshios connect one to the other. Well, we'll stop here, and there's a whole presentation here of Rabbeinu Yonah and his Shari Tshuva. You can look it up, it's in Perek Aleph, and it's in the paragraph called Membeis. And he's talking about the Baal Tshuva and his unique tefillos, a whole long presentation here. When he says, you know, Limchos Ke'ov Pishecha Kanon Chatosecha, that he's asking Hashem that Hashem should be Chofetz Bo to Ratzeyu, to Hashem to listen to his heartfelt prayers, and be podim and save him from Yisurim and Femoves. It's a whole beautiful tefillah here, presentation of what the Baal Tshuva is praying, how he presents and formulates his supplication to Hashem. We should be zochem mitzvah Hashem to megalgul and schus al yedei zaka. I can't hear it so on.